Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
Breaking news, LeBron is a Laker.
Here comes LBJ!
This Clippers team will win a championship this year.
Paul George, corner three.
Yes, sir!
Bryant has to put it up with the buzzer.
Banks it in! He banks in the three! And the Lakers win the game!
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Battle for LA podcast, part of the Clutch Points and Blue Wire Networks. Before we get started, just wanted to shout out the Chase Down podcast. They got some good content over there. They're starting a 7-part series about the Cleveland Cavaliers 2016 title run. Some good sound bites in there from fans and reporters. I suggest you guys check that out. Again, a 7-part series on the Chase Down podcast, also part of the Blue Wire Network. As always, Tomer Zarley here, Clippers beat writer for Clutch Points. I'm here with Ryan Ward, our Lakers beat writer for Clutch Points. And today we're joined by a former colleague of ours, current sportscasting editorial writer and former Lakers beat writer, Bob Garcia. Bob, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time today during this very busy hiatus. I'm sure you've been extremely occupied, as has Ryan and me as well. So thank you again for joining us.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on. It's been a while, but
reunited and it feels
so good.
You
want to just sing the entire song, just karaoke?
Bum, 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 bum.
Go for it. I did my little thing before we started recording, so you guys missed out on that. Bob, how's everything going quarantine-wise? You staying safe, staying at home, not hoarding toilet paper, I'm hoping?
No, I'm not hoarding toilet paper. I haven't even been to the store in a while. I'm actually... getting my groceries by an app now, so I don't even go
whatever
to the store myself.
Oh man, those guys are not getting paid.
Instacart,
you are contributing towards a lot of people's.
I was
just frustration.
I know.
I hope you know that. Oh, you are. Okay, well then that's okay.
I am tipping them well.
A lot better.
Yes.
I was trying to use Amazon before I left California, and I couldn't get a delivery time. Like they were all taken, or they just weren't doing it. I don't know what was going on. I couldn't do it.
I went to give groceries the other day, yesterday actually, Easter Sunday, and I got to Costco just after it closed. I got to Smart and Final just after it closed, and then I got to Target just after it closed. And I was like, dude, what the is my luck? Like, come on, man. so I just went home, an hour of driving for like nothing. So that was fun. Today, April 13th, this will be released Tuesday, but April 13th marks the, 4 years now since Kobe Bryant played his final game as a Laker?
4 years.
Yes, 4 years, wow. Since he played his final game as a Laker, had that epic 60-point finale. I think every one of us remember watching it. I mean, I myself was not in the arena, but I was at my best friend's house in the backyard with a bunch of other friends and fans, just watching it, kicking it, and... just watching that finale was incredible. But you guys, both of you, you were at Staples Center, inside Staples Center. Is that correct?
Yep. We were there. Up in the...
Yep.
You were in the press box too, right, Bob?
Nosebleeds. Yeah, we were in the top, up the top. With still crowded up there too as well.
It was
but
me,
yeah, we were up there.
Me, you, Forrest Lee, and Tyson Beck. Huh?
Jeez.
And Jabari.
Bob, I think, let's start with you. What's your most memorable moment from that night?
I would say the fourth quarter. I just remember that late in the fourth quarter when Kobe was on that run, and he was making shot after shot, and especially that three-pointer going towards out of bounds, and he nailed it. And then me and Ryan just looked, and like, we all looked at each other. All the reporters were like, "Wow, like, is this really happening?" It was just that moment of like, you know, this doesn't seem real.
It was the first time that I've ever seen the press box cheering,
really,
along with every shot.
Mm-hmm.
I said about after halftime, everybody kind of loosened up and was like, "Okay, this is the final game, man. He's playing out of his mind."
Mm-hmm.
We were all making predictions before the game, how many points we thought he was going to drop. I think I said 35. I can't remember what Bob said. What did you say, Bob?
I don't remember exactly. I wouldn't say more than 30 because it just the season he was having, you couldn't predict 60.
I knew he was going to go all out, but there's no way in my wildest dreams that I think he was going to hit 60. But what was crazy was, after every like 5-point burst, everybody in the press box just kept looking at each other like, "Is this for real? Is this for real? This is really happening right now." And then it got to 45, 50, 55, and then 60 was just unheard of. I mean, it was incredible. I've never seen anything like that in person ever before, let alone covering it and seeing, you know, the before and the after. I mean, there's so much stuff that happened that day. It was just crazy. It was just a whirlwind of emotion and fun, and everybody enjoying just seeing this last ride.
I remember in the days leading up to it, like, I know that the Kobe's final game against the Clippers was like April 7th or something like that. And that, you know, it was a Laker home game, but it was just it was incredible. It felt like you could feel the countdown with every game coming down. You really felt it. It was one of those things that I think back in November when he announced he was going to retire, you're like, "Okay, we've got a lot of games." And then slowly as it's going down to the wire, you're like, oh, crap. And you get more and more sad as it happened. Like, I remember watching that Clipper game going, "Wow, he only has 2 games after this, 3 games, whatever it was." And so that final game, like I said, I was with a couple of my friends in the backyard. I think they were down 10 in the fourth, I think is what it was. And we were watching it. We're like, "Okay, you know, it's going to be a nice ride for him. He's going to get 30, 35, whatever it is. You know, Jazz are going to win the game. And then, you know, we'll go from there. We'll give a speech, whatever." But I think that fourth quarter, like Bob mentioned, just I would not be surprised if the press box was cheering, like you said, just because what a turn of events. I mean, the missed free throws late, the final jumper, I remember those final few minutes, you know, the screens that Randall was setting, and just I remember those few minutes so well, just because it was such a memorable time. And I think it was the same night as the Golden State Warriors 73 win night, and I think it edged it out rating wise.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't remember anything from that Warriors game. I watched it back too, and I don't remember anything from that Warriors game.
I don't think anybody does. I don't think anybody does, because because you constantly get these updates of how many points that Kobe had scored, and how could you miss that?
Yeah.
Like, it's the last time. At least with the Warriors, you know, they're going to go in the playoffs, and they're going to continue playing, and then they had that epic finals.
Yeah, where they collapsed up 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, somebody made the argument that was like one of the best seasons we've ever seen, right? Just with all the things that happened along the way. Obviously not for the Lakers by any means. But that game on in itself was just it was remarkable. I mean, I even remember showing up to the game and just seeing all the events that were happening outside of Staples and how many Lakers fans were there. It was insane. And then going in, and then how everybody was waiting for Kobe to walk to the locker room. Like, hey, you know how they normally do with players, but it's only like on a normal day, it's like, what, 3 or 4 photographers. Maybe a reporter too trying to grab a guy. But this was like a parade. It was insane. There was reporters on both sides of him going all the way down to the locker room from the Chick Hearn press room. I've never seen anything like I still haven't seen anything like that since. And it was – and even had people coming behind him, you know, like Vanessa and the kids and all that. And it was – And then you saw all these faces that you never see at Staples anymore, you know, like Brian Shaw, mm-hmm. Rick Fox, Robert Horry, all these, you know, old teammates. I mean, it was a big time event. It was nuts.
Yeah, everybody was there. I mean, every celebrity was there that you could think of. Every, you know, big time musician or maybe even you know, actor was there. As for outside, I think it was like a couple basketball courts. Yeah. There was even like a Ferris wheel. Yeah. Like, and there was a big old board where people could sign their names, you know, just a little message to Kobe. And there's just obviously a lot of posters of him on the buildings, you know, across in LA Live and then also on Staples Center. And it was, yeah. I've never seen anything like it. And I don't think I ever will.
It's crazy to think that that was kind of the high point. And then you saw what happened afterwards, like Kobe getting his numbers, plural, retired. And how that was a big event. Shaq getting his statue, that was a giant event. And then unfortunately, you know, when he passed, all the fans coming out in front of Staples, and that was huge. I mean, I went with Tomer and Nikki, and we got to see all that firsthand, and that was something to see too. You know, it's just the guy's impact on just the city of Los Angeles and that team. And that arena is
you just can't. Going back to when he announced, I think it was like November when he announced he was going to retire. Like, is it right to say that one of the biggest concerns when he said that was like, will he even make it to the end of the season? Because he did come off the Achilles tear, and then he had, I believe it was the labrum or something with his shoulder, and then he also had the kneecap, correct?
Yeah, I think he dunked at some point. Yeah,
against the Pelicans.
And he really screwed up his arm. And then, you know, that entire season. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Did you guys hear that? Great timing. He didn't play that much. He didn't play that many games that season.
Yeah. No back-to-backs, I think, right?
Yeah, there was that. And then there were some times he didn't even show up to Staples. And that kind of pissed a lot of people or fans off. That bought tickets to see him one last time, but I think he just saved it all up for that last one, and then Shaq challenged him. Remember to get?
I think it was 50.
Get 40? Was it 40? Yeah. Was it 50?
50.
Oh wow.
50.
And then he goes and surpasses it by 10. I mean, that's just so typical Kobe, right? Yeah, it's madness, man.
Yeah, I just remember that post game. How it was, we had to be.
You remember what happened with me and you? I'm sure it was just, right. We walked down and we met Woj. He was just walking by himself, and I think Bob pointed him out. He's like, "Oh, that's Woj." And I was like, "No, it's not." And I was like, "Oh shit, yeah, it is." So we go up to him, and we introduce ourselves, and we're walking to the press conference, and then Woj is blown away, and he was telling us like, the only thing I could really compare it to was." Derek Jeter, right? Derek Jeter's last game?
Mm-hmm. Derek Jeter's last game,
I thought that was interesting because he had that kind of it was the kind of event where it's like nobody was immune to what happened, right? And nobody blew it off like it wasn't a big deal. It was a big, big deal, right? I mean, it's just something you just don't see. I think that's what made it so damn special, you know, and how me and Bob could remember it so vividly and every little step, every... I remember Kobe at the podium afterwards was so like relieved. Like he just seemed so kind of like, you know, just could finally exhale. All the pressure was off. All you know, all the responsibilities, mm-hmm. you know, went away when it comes to basketball. He just couldn't wait to get home and be with his kids. I've never seen him smile so much either. I mean, you think of the championships and this kind of, I think he just felt like he could just check that box off. Like he'd finally accomplished a 20-year career, and he did it in the craziest way possible with such a send-off.
Is there a post-game comment that stood out to you guys in that game?
I don't know. I know he talked for longer than we thought he was going to talk. Yeah, because we were in that big room. Like, you've been in that big room, right, Tomer?
Behind, right close to the locker room where the...
Well, it's like it's in the hallway the before you go in the big room, double doors.
The finals media. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's normally that like one. A electrical or some kind of station there they have.
Yeah, so it was this just giant room. I mean, it's like mm-hmm. that conference room that we normally go in.
Jeez.
Times four, you know, four or five. Yeah. And he was on some, like, big stage and everything. It was just crazy. I just remember a distinct feeling that he was just so relieved. He was just so, like, I did it the way I wanted to do it, now it's over. And I'm happy. I mean, Kobe's one of those guys that I always thought would struggle with retirement. Kind of like, you know, like Jordan or those guys that did it and just embraced every challenge and put everything into it. Like, what do you do after, you know, you've gone through that or you have that same mentality your whole career, your whole life. And he was totally at peace with it. It really tripped me out. That season and the season before, it's like you could kind of tell he really figured out a way to handle it. And that's impressive in itself, you know. But yeah, that was Kobe.
Yeah, it just seemed in that final press conference for him, it just seemed like he was just so much more open than, I mean, obviously that season, the last couple of seasons, he was open, but it just seemed, like you said, like it seemed like a weight was lifted off his shoulders. Like, okay, I'm done. You know, he had a finality to it where it's just, okay, I can, you know, speak my mind and, you know, I my career is done and I can look back and reflect. And it just, he just felt like, you know, he knew he was done and he wanted to put on a good show in his last game. And, you know, he did. And, you know, I don't know. And I remember us being on the court after game too, with his family and, you know, all that confetti on the court.
Did you guys get to go to the court too?
Like, and then his huge numbers on each side of the court.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, we were in the back writing our stories afterwards. And then all of a sudden there was kind of like, people talking like, oh, Kobe's on the court. Kobe's on the court. We're like, what? And so we ran out, and there's Kobe and Vanessa and his kids, and just kind of walking around, and he's saying his goodbyes to everybody. And then he went up to the I just posted a picture of it on Instagram, of that the 24, and he signed the 20. I think he signed the 8, too, right?
Yeah, he did.
And you could tell he was just saying goodbye. Like, I remember he slapped the floor. I've got a picture of him slapping the floor, and then me and Bob are in the background on the far left. Cool. Yeah, and he was out there for a while. Wow. I want to say a good 30 minutes or so.
He's taking pictures, chatting, everything.
Yeah, like I said, he was so at peace. I mean, it's even though it felt like he wanted to get out of there as soon as he could when he was at the podium, he was taking his time when he was on the court, that's for sure. It was pretty surreal to be on the court with him.
I wanted to pause real quick to tell you guys about BetOnline. You know, right now there's no basketball, there's no hockey, baseball, football might be in danger too, but we'll see about that. You might think that there's nothing really to bet on, but you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and even props you can wager on. You know, from their online casino to poker and blackjack, they can bring Vegas right to you. Even if you're missing the NFL, well, there's not a problem because BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. We can bet on simulations now. You can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Excuse me. It's all open 24 hours a day and all online. Just use promo code BLUEWIRE to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. By the way, that promo code is BLUEWIRE, Blue Wire. I wanted to jump ahead to a couple of entertainment events we've had recently. I don't know if entertainment is the right word for it, but we have had first the NBA's 2K Players Tournament finished on Sunday. That was, I believe, won by Devin Booker. He defeated teammate DeAndre Ayton I think it was a best of three as well. You know, Ayton defeated Patrick Beverley, and I believe Devin Booker defeated Montrezl Harrell. So it was basically a Suns-Clippers final, sort of, you know, to see who would win. What did you guys make of the 2K tournament? I thought it was entertaining. I didn't mind it as much. I know a lot of people said it was kind of boring, but a lot of these were pre-recorded, and the trash talk was pretty good if you were watching Pat Bev. Everyone else, I guess, you can kind of wasn't as interesting. What did you guys make of it?
I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, at first I was like, okay, this is going to be boring as hell. Like the first, I think, what was it, Sabonis against Harrell?
Yeah, that was a blowout.
The first one I watched. Yeah, that was a blowout. Yeah, Sabonis.
Sabonis actually said his first time playing was just tell. Before they played that game.
Yeah, you could tell. You could tell Harrell was a bit of a gamer too, but the banter going back and forth and kind of the conversation was kind of cool. I like it. I would say the one thing that you have seen since this whole shutdown and the suspension of the season is you see a different side of the players, right? Like you see this kind of what they're like off the court, what they're like without media in their face all the time. It's kind of cool. It's kind of refreshing. Kind of makes you feel they're a bit more, I guess it humanizes them a bit, right? So that's what I saw on those games. And I think I saw Booker play somebody.
No,
was
no,
it Derek
he played.
Jones Jr.? Or, no.
I don't know who he played.
I can't pronounce his last name.
Who was it?
Rui
Hachimura?
Starts with it. Yes, there we go. Thank you. I would have butchered that if I tried. But I was watching him, and Booker was just talking. But if they got guys like Pat Bev and Booker and all those kind of Pat personalities that like to talk shit and trash talk and all that, that would be super entertaining. So I think to take from it from here on out, if you're going to do it again, get those kind of guys. Get those kind of personalities to do it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that too. As far as like, you know, Beverly was entertaining. You know, I've watched highlights here and there, but like from his games, and you know, obviously he loves to talk trash, and just see him do that in a form of, you know, video games was interesting. And you know, him just saying, "Well, I found something," and it's like just him talking trash through 2K is funny. And you know, Devin Booker talking about, "Oh, he don't like the double team," and him, you know, doing stuff like that. Like just
and then some of these guys, like they're all changing plays and changing players, and I'm like, oh my god, these guys would destroy me if I tried to play this game. I'd never change shit when I'm playing that game.
You guys play 2K, right? I wanted to address this because I turned this on and I got some flack for it. You guys play 2K sometimes, right? You guys prefer broadcast mode or the 2K mode?
Yes.
Broadcast angle.
I think
yes,
2K mode is the one from
broadcast
behind,
mode
right?
is a broadcast, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the
Bob, you're the tiebreaker. Don't do it.
I started off with broadcast.
Don't do it.
And then I had a friend switch me over to 2K. So
2K mode.
I got used to 2K
mode.
So I'll just go with that.
Right now. 2K
mode.
See ya.
Why do you like broadcast so much?
You can see more of the court, I feel like. More in a half-court setting, I mean. I don't like...
Well, I think
maybe it's because I'm used to watching on TV, and obviously it's not supposed to be the same as watching on TV, but...
What I like about it is, like, it's the view you would have if you were playing, right? So you could see cuts happening before, you could see guys moving, and you know me,
yes.
I love to pass, so I like seeing, I like seeing the passing lanes, I like seeing where a guy, where I know he's going to be, but where you go the other way, it's like you get players blocking other players, you know, like, it's kind of... I just don't like that style.
I feel like the transition would be like if you get a turnover and then like the camera angle changes and like you have that half second where
2K or broadcast,
you know, the play right? scrambles a little bit. So I
think
that's kind of where
excuse,
it hurts a little bit.
When you get a turnover
broadcast.
In 2K,
I feel like
it has
going
to
back
flip
to
the
that.
Screen.
Well, I'm just saying I'm used to 2K. I never said I was against broadcast. I'm just saying I got used to 2K. The camera view, and I just didn't
broadcast is trash.
Before I was broadcast,
I can't do 2K.
Trash,
2K.
Bro. Trash.
I had a half where I played against a friend. I played in 2K mode, and I was down like 7 or 8 at the half. I went to broadcast mode, and I blew him out of the water in the second half. I just can't play on 2K. I don't know. I don't know. I just can't do it.
Well, all the pro players.
I don't know about that because
mode.
Trez and Sabonis played on broadcast mode. I think a couple others did as well. So,
well, you saw when we covered that tournament.
Oh yeah,
the
gamers
tournament.
They have a specific way to do it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I guess you're just trash then, right?
All right. You want to stream this?
Broadcast.
You want to stream this L? Okay.
I'm stuck in an apartment.
Yeah, but you want to publicize the country this L right you're going to take? Dude.
What's... Just because you could shoot doesn't mean you can play, bro.
Whatever you want. I'll beat you. Okay, okay. We might have to organize that, though. Okay.
Yeah, we might have to do it.
Oh, Ryan already owes me for Kuzma's 2K. Put a wager all the way down. So, so God, we made a bet so wrong that, about that at the beginning of the season.
You haven't paid up for that.
I said Kuzma's 2K rating was going to go down. He said it was going to go up. It was an 84, and it dropped all the way to like 77. That's and if you're not familiar with 2K, that's a pretty massive drop. Like usually, guys go down up or down about 3 to 4 points throughout the season.
Thanks, Kuz.
Exclusions are like Devontae Graham from the Hornets, who just made like a massive leap because he was just a really, you know, just a starter and all that.
Well, I think Doncic went way up.
I think
too.
Doncic is pretty high to begin with, but no, Kuz just had like a free fall 2K rating wise. He went all the way down like a 78, 77. And I'm still waiting on that bottle of, well, I mean, I guess the season's not over, so I guess we can wait on that for now.
What was it, proper 12? Yes. Proper 12 or Jameson?
Say it with the accent, mate. Why did I say mate? That's so stupid. I mixed up all my accents. I'm just messing around.
You're from Australia? Or
what about the horse competition? Did you guys catch that at all? Horse competition on Sunday?
I did. I got, what was it, Conley against Tamika Catchings.
And
that's how you say your name? Which was so lopsided and so shitty because he was in like his own private gym and she was outside in the cold weather. I think she was in Indiana or something. And she's constantly like blowing into her hands.
Oh my God.
She could tell she's freezing her ass off. And I'm like, and he's doing all these trick shots and she's just trying to stay warm. I was like, that's not fair. If they do this again, they have to do it in gyms. Players with private gyms. Right, and the video has to be better because it the video was crappy like for almost all of them. I think I think what Billups in his backyard was, and Trey Young's was terrible.
I think best part or the best one was probably Mike Conley, who had like apparently I don't know if that was his, but it was a beautiful indoor gym.
Over the backboard.
Beautiful indoor gym, high ceilings. It was like one of those rec league gyms.
It's like a basketball player's dream.
Well, you get
right,
that Mike Conley money.
Gym like
pretty
that,
sure
yeah.
You can open a gym too. But Bob, did you watch it at all? Did you enjoy it or did you not like the idea to begin with?
Yeah, I tried watching a little bit. I did watch, you know, a few of the shots. You know, I think it was Conley's shot over the backboard that knocked out Tamika Catchings, and then I saw Paul Pierce trying to use a scooter.
Oh, that's the one where Zach LaVine, right? He tapped the backboard and then reverse layup at the same time.
He didn't even try it. Yeah, and he's wearing like a sweater and like. You know, you could see it didn't look like he was even afraid to shoot a basketball at that point. So, but yeah, I know like Chauncey Billups had, you know, some nice shots too. That was it off the right leg 3-pointer. Like, you know, there was some interesting shots, but like Ryan said, it could be, if you had inside, then you know, you avoid all this, you know, potential wind, it being cold, and all the other stuff, all the factors that could.
Well, then
the video, come into play.
The video has got to be better inside, right? You know, it's. I don't see why you would at least have people that.
Do we think LeBron has an indoor basketball gym in LA?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen him post any photos or videos there.
Doesn't he have like a two mansions?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Down the street from one another?
That would be your area of expertise.
Oh, that's what I thought I heard. He's got two big houses in LA.
Okay, well.
I think he may have already had one
before
he moved here. And then...
I'm right with you guys on that. I'll be honest. I didn't watch a minute of it. I watched about 45 seconds, and then I was like, I can't do this. I'm just going to go back to Call of Duty. I felt bad, but I'm like, dude, I can't do this. So I just decided not to watch it. That being said, though, some of the highlights are pretty fun. They were pretty funny. I just think, yeah, you need guys with indoor gyms. You need, mm-hmm. I think all this is like sort of experimental. You know, it's like that pilot episode of a show, or like just the first trial run of something that you're trying out here. And I mean, yeah, there's mm-hmm. going to be some bad stuff. There's going to be some failures, but I think the NBA is trying to do their best to entertain us. I mean, you can't do that with baseball, really. You can't do that with football. I think basketball is the only one you can really do this with, unless I'm wrong.
You know what would be cool is if you had like a Mike Conley setup, right? And he was willing to bring people in, and you had a 3-on-3 tournament.
Social distancing, Ryan.
Right. Well, they have all those guys tested. Test all 6 of the guys, right? Mm-hmm. Test everybody that would be in the tournament. I mean, that totally limits, you know, the amount of getting out of control, right? And it's in a location, just one game at a time, right? One day is this one, new location the next time, or maybe mm-hmm. the same location. They got to travel here.
It's possible. I'm just not an idea. I mean, Bob, what do you think about that idea? Would you be on board with that?
I mean, it'd be interesting if it was. I mean, are you saying just current players, Ryan, or are you talking about old players that are retired?
Whoever would be willing to do it. I would assume it would be, maybe some retired players and some really young players that are just antsy and want to play. You know, like a Trae Young.
Yeah. Go by ones.
You know what we should do?
Go
we
by
should,
ones and twos. Or
we should have a
like
rerun
that.
Of the 2020 dunk contest. We should just have Derek Jones Jr. in his home or wherever you can find a gym. And Zach LaVine, maybe add Aaron Gordon in there. Just have like a dunk contest. I think people would watch that. Nah. Maybe D Wade is the host after snubbing Aaron Gordon. He's the host.
I think people would watch it just to watch something. I think that's how we've all been with all these events. Like we'll watch it just to watch something, and then we kind of get bored of it really fast because it's not what you.
Well, is there anything better out there?
Right. No, not really. I mean, besides movies and Netflix and...
But something that we can watch basketball-wise. Is there anything
that
we
normally would watch?
I don't think so. I think they're exhausting all options. 2K. I think the dunk contest is something they should look at. That would be pretty interesting. I would watch that for sure.
Would you watch three-point contest?
Three-point contest? It's tough. I'd watch like a half-court shootout.
But you got to think, even though when that stuff is even on, mm-hmm. like normal, people still don't tune in. Like sometimes I don't care.
Right, but you had options. You knew you were going to watch basketball in a few days, and a few days before that as well.
I know, but still, I'm not totally entertained by that stuff. I know I was. I think I was out of town or something when it happened. But it was that little mini vacation I took. But. I'm still not totally entertained by that stuff. The dunk contest is good like once every 5 years. Three-point shootout gets better because everybody can shoot threes now, right? But that's about it. I mean, do you watch the skills challenge?
Year.
No.
I'm a junkie, though.
But it's lame.
Maybe you'll be entertained by
a 2K
game.
It's just lame.
A couple times. Maybe that'll keep you entertained.
Okay, get it all out now. Get it all out now. Okay, broadcast. Get it all out.
If I lose, whatever he
says again. Now,
I will deny that I ever said any of this. I'll delete this pod. We won't talk about this ever again. The playoffs are supposed to start this week.
Weird. It's so weird thinking about
final game would have been Wednesday. Playoff Saturday, Sunday. Both the Lakers and Clippers were in prime position, I think, barring health. To reach the Western Conference Finals.
Would have happened. I'm pretty certain it would have. Yeah, I don't think anybody could have beaten them in 7 games.
Bob, where were you on the competition in the West?
I have to go the same thing. I mean, I don't see any other teams beating the Lakers or the Clippers. Before the Western Conference Finals. I mean, those two teams were
ooh, destined, I like
destined to face each other in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, Yeah, the Nuggets, you know, I they're a good team, but they just didn't, they don't have that one superstar player. I mean, I know Jokic is great, but it just didn't seem like they have that offensive edge or anything. It just seems like the other teams were all lacking something at both the Lakers and Clippers had.
I was sold. Oh, go ahead.
It just seemed like it was going to come down to them in the West.
The only dark horse Houston. In the West yep. would have been Houston, right? Because they have the playoff experience between Harden and Westbrook and their coach, D'Antoni. So, and their new style of play was giving some people problems, even though it kind of turned, mm-hmm. a week or two before.
Oh, Houston was playing tremendous shutdown. Basketball before the I feel like Trump when I say that. Houston was playing really good basketball.
Tremendous.
Huge. It was huge.
The best players.
No, they were playing really well, final week of January when they traded Capella later on, and then all of February, they were playing really well. They were really starting to figure it out, playing their five-out basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Clippers once. I think they beat the – oh, no, they did beat the Clippers once. They beat the Lakers once, but the Lakers beat them back later, didn't they?
Beat the Lakers, yeah.
Yeah. So.
I think so, yes, because that first game that they lost to Houston was the first game back after Kobe was passed. So everything was out of sorts.
Yeah, so just they'd been on a roll. But, yeah, I agree. I think think if the season does come back, I think Houston's the only one you got to sort of watch out for. Does any team benefit from this break?
I think they could. The thing is, you're going to see which players and teams are really disciplined, though, right? Who are the ones that have been keeping up? Who are the ones that have been staying in shape? I mean, you could see some guys come back and just be awful.
Well,
they're just so
the Clippers, for example. I don't know about the Lakers. I think the Lakers did this too, but the Lakers set up Zoom workouts, I believe, with their players, and then the Clippers sent workout equipment as soon as the shutdown was about to be announced. The NBA shutdown. They were coming off a one game trip to Golden State, San Francisco. But yeah, they sent workout equipment to their players' homes. They've been working out there, connecting via conference calls and running workouts, coordinating workouts with their trainers. I know Doc has said that he's been, in contact with these guys every other day. Kawhi's been a monster, been able to work out and really work on his game. I guess that means he has a court at his home, wherever he lives. That's just
not surprised.
Yeah, Doc used the term "win the weight," where you stay in shape as much as possible, you win this hiatus period, and then come back ready to go, because I think it's still a possibility we can go right into a playoff series. We can come right into the playoffs.
Well, what was that that came out the other day? Was it Windhorst saying that they needed 25 days before a game could be played after the green light, right? Was it like 11-day training camp or something, and then a few games? This was like two or three days ago, I want to say, or like last week.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting. I was like, wow. So basically, once there's a green light, you still got to wait a month until an actual game can be played. So it gives time, for players to get back up to speed, which is what they're going to need, or else they're going to see injuries left and right. But ironically, the Lakers and Clippers could be the two teams that benefit the most from having a layoff, Kawhi's going to be healthy.
Paul George has said that his hamstrings he's in even better health now than he was a couple weeks ago because of his hamstring. That's what he said on IG Live the other day.
See what I mean? Yeah. And then LeBron, having more time off again. AD, because AD's been kind of nicked up all season, but he's played through it. There you go. Four superstars right there that benefit a hell of a lot from time off and having the facilities more than likely to take care of themselves.
I just think that there might be the only thing there might be would be rust guys not being on the court. Then that's for sure going to show, and I think that may play into the factor of let's have some regular season games, at least some of them, so that they come into the playoffs. If there's time and if it allows for it, but if there's time to have games so they can knock the rust off, and then once the playoffs do start, then they'll be closer to what they were before the whole layoff began.
It's just a shame because both teams were hitting their stride at the same time. Like you said, Clippers were getting healthy, Lakers were killing people. I mean, Lakers just came off of beating the Clippers and the Bucks in consecutive games. And yeah, and then it just all went away. And then you got to think, you know, 60 games, you can't replace 60 games in a matter of months.
Yeah. All right, well, so, prediction time before we wrap this up.
I don't know.
Does the NBA come back, Bob?
I don't know. I was telling Ryan this a couple, probably last week or a week before that, that it just doesn't seem like it's trending in that direction. It just, you know, like this whole, you know, this, for example, like Los Angeles, the lockdown, you know, it's been extended to May 15th, and I feel like it's going even further than that. And then you have, you know, like the mayor saying, oh, that the, you know, the stadiums in LA or arenas in LA are going to be under lockdown too for further, and there is no...
Sir.
Yes, but I'm just saying that the way things are trending, it's hard to see this from, you know, getting clear or anything, getting, you know, in moving in direction as far as, like, games being played. It's just, there just seems like there's a lot more that still needs to be done. And, you know, people, you know, stay at home and let this, you know, thing play out the way it should. And I hope it does. I hope I'm completely
Ryan,
wrong, but it just doesn't seem like it will be.
Really?
I think it'll come back. I think, for one, there's too much money to be lost for it not to come back. And two, I just want to be positive. I want to be optimistic. I mean, why not hope for the best?
Hope for the best, but also sort of be a realist. In the current state of affairs, anyways.
Well, yeah, I'm true, but I just think there's a lot of smart people out there. There's a lot of smart people that can figure out how to do this in a controlled environment, you know? I mean, every week it seems like they're coming up with something new. You know, they got the 2K tournament, they got the horse thing, and I know even though those are not people, you know, playing with each other in person, but it's still, you know, people are figuring things out. So I think, yeah, it'll just be a matter of time. Okay. I think we'll see you in Vegas. I think they shut down Vegas a little bit earlier. In anticipation of this.
There we go. Well,
I'm just saying, I just think they got to be, I mean, who is bleeding more than Vegas right now, right? They're going to be losing so much money. So the prospect of games coming back is huge for them. You know, not just the NBA and the NFL and all those sports leagues, but the Vegas itself. I mean, they want to get things running again, and they get live sports, and people are going to be betting like crazy.
You don't mention conspiracies.
Probably more than normal.
You just didn't say that whole 5G tower conspiracy. I don't know if you guys saw that. That's some wild,
tremendous conspiracy.
Yeah, I did.
Conspiracies like no other.
Thank you. I am
getting the voice down now, huh?
I prefer to be optimistic toward like Ryan, but I'm just not. I don't think they can come back without affecting much of next season. I know if there's a chance to keep next season as normal as possible in terms of the routines, I think they want to keep it that way. I mean, playoffs are where they make a lot of their money, so I can see why they'd really want to bring it back. But yeah, especially this year. If it changes a lot of next year too, if you're looking at a shortened season, I mean, you know, I don't know. Salary cap's also already going to be way down. When they projected, what was it, 111 or whatever it's supposed to be? So, yeah, we could be looking at a regular season if there's no playoffs, I believe. But if they do have a playoffs here, I think that's going to affect next season. I don't know if the NBA wants to do that. So,
I'm just going by the expect the worst.
Oh, I'm expecting the worst. I tweeted someone the other day that I think we're going to be in like stay-at-home order until like maybe August, just to make sure there's no second wave or anything. And everyone's like, "You're insane!" And I'm like, "Dude, this has been like it's been extended month by month for the last like what 2 months or a month and a half." So I mean, August is wild.
Well,
parents. If you want to be sure and be safe, I don't think it's that wild.
What can you truly do without a vaccine, right? Like, until you get a vaccine, which some people have said could take 18 months to get a good one at a mass scale, there's nothing you really can do that's normal, right? That's back to the way it was. So, I mean, it's still yeah, who no, the hell
no
knows.
There's no way to know. You know? If anyone tells you, they know they're lying.
Yeah.
So.
No. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, Bob, where can people find your stuff?
Sportscasting.com. So I've been, you know, we cover everything, cover every sport, covering boxing, UFC, MMA, all that stuff. Golf even there too as well. Tennis.
Why don't you give us your Twitter at, because I love
yeah,
hearing that.
Sportscasting.com.
Why not? It's been like a year, dude.
Oh, God. I have not changed it.
Garcia IV Sports.
Do you know it? Do you still remember it, Tomer?
Yeah, at B Garcia IV Sports. I'm not promoting you anymore, bro.
Bingo.
What is this? Yeah.
What? I mean, you should know you should it now, change. Though. I mean,
it's yeah, changed. Bob, thanks again for...
You'd be better with at bingo, Bob. Bro. At bingo. Yeah.
At bingo?
Bingo at Bob.
Bingo. I gotta say, like...
Bob, thanks again for joining. Really appreciate you taking the time. Hope all is well with you on your end. As usual, you can follow me at Tomer Azarly. That's TomerAzarly on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Ryan at Ryan Ward LA on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. He's putting a lot of OnlyFans videos on YouTube now, so check that out. And yeah, as always, subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a 5-star review. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, concerns, leave that for us as well. We want to hear all of it. Yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed, and we will catch you guys next week. Stay safe.
Later.